Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
And welcome to the SmackDown Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to review everything that happened on Friday night's episode of SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review SmackDown, but also Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look back on SmackDown. Mate, great to have you back on, and what a great Friday night episode of SmackDown we got this week.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? It's I'm going to be indulgent here. You say great to have me back on. It's nice to be back on. I miss getting to speak with you 5 days a week about this sort of thing. For those that can't tell from the slight audio disparity between the two of us, we are still doing this over Zoom. All of this, every time you hit record on one of these Zoom calls, I'm still at home. Wilborn is a perfect picture of health. The Rona still lingers in under the roof of House Hamflett presently. And I just feel like another famous Michael. You know when Michael Scott paid for Pam to go and study art in New York, but in doing so, it meant that he had the right to her personal phone number and he would call her and he would just go, miss you so much, kiddo, miss you. I just feel like I want to spend the duration of this review looking at those great studio walls behind you and telling you how much I miss you, and And SmackDown, more than for its artistic quality, will serve as a conduit for us to be able to, well, just chat some shit about the wrestling for a little while, because this wasn't anywhere near the quality of last week's excellent Dynamite, which I did notice people on Twitter were suspicious of. Oh, I see how the Daddy Boys managed to shake off their Rona blues to get into total coincidence. I want to point that out. Things have sadly got worse in my situation before they got better. I believe Michael Sidgwick is indeed back at large today. But yeah, like, in spite of all that, thanks SmackDown for existing to allow me to speak to my friend. That's the privilege that this pressure affords us.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm giving SmackDown more leeway and possibly Monday Night Raw as well at the moment, purely because you and I are sat there going, well, in 2 weeks, we'll be in and around WrestleMania or not. But I'm getting giddy, basically, watching these shows. And we are less than 2 weeks away now. So,
yeah, again, to be even more indulgent, what has this podcast become now that we're back on Zoom? But to get even more indulgent, yeah, like the prospect of being in attendance for WrestleMania, or indeed the sheer size and scale of WrestleMania this year, as it was in 2016. The fact that that is starting to loom and you can watch videos looking at the giant AT&T stadium or wrestlers that keep talking about obscenely expensive pyro. I hate myself for how much the WrestleMania fever, and I am testing negative at this point, so it's in me more than COVID, but like how much the WrestleMania fever is getting to me. They don't deserve this a lot of the time, but we all end up pointing at the sign sooner or fucking later.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm allowing some of the people to go, I'm going to WrestleMania, because I go, so am I. Anyway, let's start at the beginning of the show, because they hyped up a collision between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And boy, howdy, did it deliver. So Roman Reigns, the Bloodline, all come out, make their time-saving for me on a Sunday night rewatch of SmackDown entrance. He asks Charlotte to acknowledge him. And he says, look, this should be excited. This is the first time me and Brock are going to be face-to-face after I smashed him in Madison Square Garden. And he's hyping that up when suddenly Paul Heyman got a message on his phone and points out that unfortunately, due to bad weather or something in Saskatchewan, Brock Lesnar will not be here tonight. And Heyman apologizes and there's a "We want Lesnar" chant, and Roman looks sad. And he said, "Look, I'm gutted too. I wanted Roman here just as much as you guys. But, you know, you just have to acknowledge that, you know, you can't blame Brock. You can't blame the weather. It's a business decision. Look, Brock Lesnar is scared of Roman Reigns, as he bloody well should be." And Roman starts to do some more spiel here. And then Paul Heyman gets his attention. He's like, "What's going on?" And he says, "Well, unfortunately, I've had an update. And Brock Lesnar's not only coming here, his plane has landed. He's on his way here." He starts freaking out. You see the panic come across Roman's face. And he says, "Well, I know what we're doing. We're getting out of here. Heyman, wrap this stuff up," basically. Before we got to the fallout from this in a second, I just love this opening to the show.
Yeah, I was a bit of a sucker for Roman. Like, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit too far for all of this to, much like Brock Lesnar's plane, land. You have to suspend your disbelief that in the, minute and a half between the Bloodline thinking everything was absolutely fine and then Paul Heyman getting another text message that everything in the plan had suddenly gone wrong. That was a bit of a reach. However, I did really enjoy Roman Reigns yet again doing the Brock Lesnar's in trouble me in the slightest. I don't know what you're talking about. Everything is fine. I'm making fajitas. Everything is absolutely fine. only for one tiny thing to yet again rattle him completely off his perch. He was even like, what was it? He said, "Why are you interrupting me again, wise man?" As if to say that wasn't part of our scheduled interruption.
Yeah.
We practiced a fake interruption so that people would believe I'd fine. "What are you doing this one for? I don't care for this improv, wise man." And then for him and me, it was actually, "The weather's fine. I'm sorry, but like, this isn't a bit anymore. He's coming." And then you get real, like, your problem. I was kind of, yet again, romanced by Roman's conviction to this, being a little bit afraid of what Brock Lesnar could actually do. I've quite enjoyed this, the way this story has played out.
Absolutely. And then Cole and McAfee run through the lineup for tonight, and we cut backstage to the Bloodline hightailing out of there, I think is the correct term. They jump in their car, and suddenly you hear a horn, and there is Brock Lesnar. He's not only at the arena, he's in his cowboy hat driving, I can't remember the exact term that they used, so I'm just going to say a forklift, because that's what they used on NXT 2.0, so they're probably just getting their money's worth out of it. So they try to get out of Dodge, but Brock Lesnar smashes the, I don't know what they're called, the forklift, the bit of the forklift with the bit that does the lifting with the forks, into the windows of the car. They cut to commercial. When we come back, we see what's been going on. All the windows are busted in. Reigns, Heyman, the Usos are all selling it. They're trapped in the car. Lesnar is having a great time. They bail out the other side of doors, and Lesnar uses the forklift to flip the car that they were in. They commandeer a second vehicle and try to start the car and get out of there. Basically, I don't know what happened to Heyman in amongst all this. Regardless, Lesnar tries to jump in and drag one of the Usos or any one of them out of there, basically. But they drive off, but not before Lesnar pulls the door off the goddamn car and then carries that to the ring. He gets a huge reaction, chucking it about for his pyro and what have you, chucking it about in the ring. And he says tells Roman he's unleashed the bipolar beast. He can run or hide, but in 2 weeks at WrestleMania, he's going to do more than just blow the goddamn doors off of him. He is coming for blood. And Roman better be prepared. This feud is white hot.
Yeah, it is, you know. That's the perfect description of it. It is white hot because it kind of... I'm not going to say it doesn't matter what your subjective feelings are about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, because it does, because it's going to dictate whether you watch the show. It's going to dictate whether or not, I guess, you listen to reviews of the show like this one. So, you know, there may be some people for which this isn't particularly working for because it's quite rote. Sidgwick himself devised a feature that sadly was saved from Monday Night Raw and yet has been on SmackDown 2 weeks in a row about WWE's vehicular obsession at this time of year. So a lot of this conformed to a lot of cliches. However, fans have been loudly banging Roman stuff without the hairdryer noise on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. They were even more into this perfect hybrid of Cowboy Brock with Angry Beast Lesnar. I've mixed feelings on Bipolar Beast because I have a feeling that Vince McMahon's love of alliteration is slightly him confusing an actual medical condition with something he just thinks is funny to say.
Yeah.
Because Brock Lesnar is, he's laughing one minute, he's angry the next. Like, I worry that that's going to be seen as trivializing something that is a far greater concern to the people that actually live with bipolar. So I don't particularly want that one to stick. But I think that maybe, like, for Brock's sheer carnage caused with, yet again, a car door. It's not the first time we've seen him nearly wipe people out with a car door. They might have got away with it for 1 week only. Fans were super hot for it. It was a strange situation because WWE had promised Brock Lesnar and had to deliver him. And having him in a backstage segment driving a forklift on what was obviously a pre-tape might have not been enough. So they had to send him out to the ring to ensure that he'd been delivered for the night. So there was an obligation they had to see through here. But in terms of seeing through an obligation, I thought this was one of the more entertaining ways they could have done it. I like watching Brock Lesnar add to his pyro the showmanship of lobbing a car door to the ground and seeing if it bounces, like one of my kids would, like a bouncy ball. This is just, this dates all the way back to us wanting to see Bobby Lashley do assault courses. When you have freakish human beings on your roster that indeed pass every airport test still, make them do freakish stuff.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the premium live events to watch the wrestling. I don't mind this on my wrestling television.
No, exactly. And I particularly enjoyed Roman Reigns on his promo talking about being in God mode and then just, oh, bloody hell, he's here. Let's get out of here, lads. It's 2 weeks in a row someone involved in the bloodline has just scarpered in a car rather than face Brock Lesnar.
Say what you will, by the way, about Roman Reigns' run. There will be debate on the duration of it, if it's always been good, if it's been peaks and troughs, if what. In terms of a long-standing title run or a long-standing top guy run, I can't think of a run of more hideous T-shirts than one Roman Reigns. They go from bad to worse still. And this God Mode one is just the latest of monstrous things they've made him wear. And will no doubt flog in the millions, by the way. People paid four figures for a Fiend belt. They'll pay two for one of them shirts.
That was followed by the number one contenders for the SmackDown tag titles, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs in action against Los Lotharios. Still love them doing the kiss cam. I still love that. especially when it's followed up in the ring by them blowing a kiss to Shinsuke Nakamura that he subsequently catches, stomps on it and goes, Ikeba!
So that was great. It reminded me of when Nakamura fought AJ in New Japan and he swallowed the bullet from AJ's Bullet Club gun. You saw him like mime exploding in his stomach. I did enjoy that. I want to talk about kiss cams, if that's all right with you. Bon, you're a big fan, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Did you see, I don't know which American sports game it
hockey,
was from the
I
weekend.
Think it was, if I know what you're talking about.
So you did see it then. From the hockey, did you see the kiss cam of the couple that weren't a couple, only for the actual boyfriend to reappear in the
movie?
Oh my God. For anybody that hasn't seen this, mine and Wilbard's eyes have just gone wild thinking about this again. There's a kiss cam and it's going around the stadium and you see it cuts to two people separated by one seat in the middle. So obviously, you know, there could be everything there. There could be nothing there. They could be complete strangers. There could be a reason why there's a middle seat between them. Maybe they're just doing something COVID compliant. But if there's one thing America hates, it's COVID compliance. So the kiss cam's like, kiss, kiss, kiss. So they kind of look at each other. There's a bit of a shrug. Initially, the woman's like, no. So the implication is that they don't really know each other. This ain't a thing. Or if it is, maybe they're in the middle of a row. Whatever it is, she's like, no. And then there's kind of kiss cams have got that sort of bit of charm about them, don't they? So they go in for the kiss. It's quite the kiss, isn't it?
I will if you will, yeah. And then they go for it.
Yeah. It goes from, like, I wouldn't say 0 to 100. It's not like Sharon and Phil in EastEnders where we're ripping each other's clothes off. But, you know, it's like 0 to about 75 where they're, you know, they're not necking on, but they're about as close as you can do without the being tongue, like spit being swapped. And the crowd cheers and everything's all good again. They go back to the chairs, no harm done. Only three kisses later, there potentially is a bit of harm done because the kiss cam returns to the seat and the boyfriend of the woman sits down to take his seat with a look of, I miss anything. And the whole crowd just responds with this, ooh.
Whilst you just got to point this out, whilst the kiss cam says, kiss cam winner or something like that. And he's like, how are we the kiss cam winner? I've just been in the loo or like at the bar or whatever. And she's just like, I think I got some explaining to do.
There's a lot of this at the moment, isn't there? Because wasn't there, I saw one the other, this was, like, I should have read up on the context of this. Did you see the one where like there was some mascot that checks the validity of diamond rings or something? Do you see this
one? Oh, yes. I saw that. It was like he had like a,
what? I don't know why. I don't know what is that. What's that about? It's like, hey, are you rich or are you fake? Like, but yeah, so he's like running. It looks like a Ghostbusters Geiger counter and he runs it over the ring. I don't know why you would want to shame somebody into buying a Christmas cracker ring. You know, money's money. It's this third of a wage business is just in case my wife's listening while I'm recording from home. It's a myth, isn't it? Like, you know, you spend what you spend on a ring. And I runs the. Runs the old guy counter over the ring and it just gives a big red X tail. She storms off and the guy is left to suffer while everybody she walks past has a big old laugh in her face.
Yeah. Love that. Kiss cam rules. That's why the kiss cam rules this.
I've been known to rail on football in the past, but it's all the more reason why I think American sports and the lunacy within it to be embraced compared to ours. That was a rubbish.
I feel that I've infected football though with the oh, can I have your shirt? Piss off. I hate that. I hate him.
If we ever go to a lower league game together, should we try and get you a shirt? Like, should I just pretend you're my son?
Okay. To be honest, I think if my team gets any more injuries, I think we'll be playing for them. So, right. So anyway, in the match itself, after Nakamura's stomped on the kiss, Nakamura's in control, running knee. He's basically up until Los Lotharios do the blind tag, it's all Nakamura. In comes Angel and they double basement drop kick take control. They cut him off from Boogs. Umberto comes back in and knocks Boogs off the apron and gets a near fall on Nakamura. Eventually, Boogs tags in and just runs wild, chucks Angel, press slam to Umberto. Just put 10 push-ups, effectively, or whatever, 10 lifts with Umberto in the press climb before chucking him onto Angel. And then he gets Angel, before he can lift him up for the boot cruise, he's just sort of like pull-ups there or something. nails him. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Rick Boogs is the man who should take the title off Roman Reigns. I think he's incredible.
God, Jesus Christ. Right. The match was fine. It was a 5-minute WWE TV match. Boogs and Nakamura at this point know how to play to each other's strengths. Nakamura looks like he's having fun with it, which is the best you're ever going to get out of Nakamura. But though it is a fool's errand to try and analyze WWE too deeply, I am that fool and we're going to do it anyway. Because yet again, you were like, I'm left asking more questions than I want to ask about this. This felt so middling and like extraneous compared to some of the other things happened on the show. And yet, these are the number one contenders to the tag titles on the biggest show of the year. The whole thing couldn't feel more small time, and yet these have a match against the Usos. And it's the same card we're talking about. This two-night card, it's stupendous. It's a two-night card where two people are so desperate to go on it that they would fight over interviewing somebody.
Yeah.
As to bigger stars than Nakamura and Rick Boogs in Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, you don't even have to dig deep or deeper than the same week of television to find a cavernous hole in all of this. And it's just, I mean, it's pretty milquetoast, isn't it? Have you seen, this might dampen your flames somewhat, have you seen that like both nights are apparently going to have a 2-hour kickoff?
What?
In WrestleMania. Oh my God. I mean, the one thing we can at least guarantee about these kickoffs is it's not going to be an hour and 50 minutes of because at least that's on the other show. But this is a kickoff match, isn't it? Boogs and Nakamura versus the Usos is a kickoff match. Nope. But you're shaking your head, Wilbon. What? Until the Viking Raiders wrestle their way back in for a triple threat. What? Like
when,
what?
When, I'm sorry,
Make this make sense, Wilborn. Make this make sense.
Are you telling me 100,000 people shouting "Boogs" does not get you excited? Never mind the glass shattering. No one cares about that. Look, I'm gonna have a great time with it.
All right.
I quite like this, to be perfectly honest. I think this is going to be quite a decent match. This was, you know, necessary in terms of like, well, they just tricked their way into a tag team title match at WrestleMania. Yeah. But, you know, I will even say that maybe, I don't think this was the case, but maybe there was a plan to have some sort of mad New Day match, but that's kind of gone out the window with Big E's horrific injury, of course. So, yeah, you do with what you've got, and a more than adequate replacement, I'd say.
It's just, again, even the Usos themselves, you would think men that until, what was it, 2018, had grafted just to get on the card. Remember how big a deal that was that the Usos had never had a WrestleMania match before? And they finally got that. It was the Fatal 4-Way tag, wasn't it? Or the one they got, and they had to follow Ronda Rousey's debut. And they lost their tag belts to the Bludgeon Brothers. But the whole point was that they got one, and it was well overdue. That was only 4 years ago. Do you not think they should pipe up and be like, hang on, how have you just got this match? Dolph Ziggler's only had his one singles match, and it was an empty building. He lost to Otis.
Yeah.
And I'm not fighting for him particularly. I'm just, you know, it's the bigger point. I went and did it anyway. Why did I do it anyway?
I think the thing is you're getting worked up about the wrong thing because I know we don't do it on this, but oh my God, do I want to skip everything involving Drew McIntyre and Corbin's gaggle of knobheads. They recapped everything, Jinder and Madcap Moss and Shanky and the Viking Raiders. And then Corbin's in the back with Megan Rant, and he says, oh, my plan went exactly as I wanted to last week. I mean, it was salvaged by Madcap Moss's joke. What do you call an episode of Happy Talk that puts everyone to sleep? Nappy Talk. It's not quite Poo Day, but it is certainly top five for him.
Right. Just on that, because I don't want to talk about the match. So let's talk about this instead, right? Do the match, and then I want to go back to this joke, because that's the content that matters. Sorry.
Eric jumps Shanky. Shanky fights back. Mahal comes in. He gets hit with a spine buster. Ivar gets isolated. Corbin taunts McIntyre. Mahal's with Ivar. Ivar fights back. Corbin stops him tagging. Corbin beats down Ivar. Ivar gets the tag to McIntyre. Corbin immediately tags out. McIntyre, Michinoku driver on Shanky. Claymore looking, pointing at, what's his name? Happy Corbin. 1, 2, 3. They've done everything. I have no desire to see this match whatsoever.
I'm just going to defer to Bob Holly when it comes to reviewing this match. Whole thing sucked. So let's get back to Nappy Talk for just a second. I'm a lover of a pun, and I don't know if it's ever come across in the podcast before, but you're a lover of silly jokes.
Indeed.
This is no sillier than virtually every Madcap Moss joke ever, right? That's fair to say, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Ever. This is absolutely, I know, like you said, poo day. What goes in the nappy? Poo. Poo. So, same postcode. The way that everybody was scripted to react was as if they didn't know Madcap Moss had this in his chamber.
Yeah.
Imagine like me and Sidgwick are sitting down to do a podcast with you, and it's the, you're at your best, I think, in the intro to the NXT 2.0 one, because that's when every show, bar one, gets its biggest and boldest introduction.
Yes.
And I live for that. But imagine if, at that point every week, me and Sidgwick just, like, took the podcast hostage. What are you doing, Wilborn? It's NXT 2.0. We're here to talk about wrestling. What's going on here? What are these? Switch these buttons off now. Talk me through the armbar in that opener. Toxic Attraction of wrestlers, for God's sake. Right? That was the reaction of that crew of heels. Like, as if, who's brought this guy out on the piss with us? Well, you, every single week for the last 6 months, this is what he does, right? So were we, if there was a reason for that, were we to believe that, oh, how the turntables have turned, Madcap Moss has done a joke at Corbin's expense and he doesn't like it? Is this setting up the Madcap Moss babyface turn?
I hope so. I love Madcap Moss. I think he's great.
Well, and I think people are gravitating towards him and his silly boots and his silly suspenders and his silly neck bumps off of Drew McIntyre's spot. And I sort of think, are they? Like, so this week, I'm trying to apply narrative why. The team have lost again to Drew. Corbin is going to lose to Drew. Are they doing a thing where next week Corbin is going to be, you know, Jinder, you blew it. Like, get you out of it. Like, we don't need you, do we, Moss? And then Moss cracks another joke and Corbin's getting progressively more annoyed with Madcap Moss to the point where he's got no friends at WrestleMania. And WWE and their efforts to protect Baron Corbin say part of the reason he was decimated by Drew is because he alienated all his mates. Is that where all of this is going?
I don't care.
But you like Madcap Moss. You just said so.
I just don't care about any of this. I'm like, give Drew his win at WrestleMania. I mean, you should have given it to him last year, probably, but have him celebrate with fans at WrestleMania.
I love the reaching that people have done over the weekend as well. Back when I defeated Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and there was nobody in the building and the world was locked down, the one thing I said to you through the camera, my hand reaching out, touching your hand, I said, I want to be there to win a mid-card match in Wales. The amount of people that have gone to suggest that, like, a big outdoor show in Wales in September in the UK was Drew's goal. Thank Drew McIntyre for this, because he's going to get the night he deserves. In my hometown of Cardiff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, one man who I am looking forward to seeing have a match at WrestleMania is Sami Zayn. And he got a backstage promo talking about the fact he should be Intercontinental Champion. But he's not blaming Johnny Knoxville. Instead, he's just going to teach him a lesson. He's going to show Knoxville what it's like to really step into his world. And he offers out an anything goes match at WrestleMania. Which later on, I'm going to combine these two segments. Sami Zayn gets the response from Knoxville, talks about getting knocked out cold by Butterbean, strapping himself to a red rocket, and he just can't help himself. He starts laughing. He accepts Sami Zayn's challenge. We are getting Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. Anything goes at WrestleMania 38. For me, the perfect WrestleMania development for this match.
When I hear the phrase Red Rocket, I always think of South Park. And if there was anyone in wrestling that was going to strap themselves to Red Rocket, it'd be Tony Khan. But I guess it's happening in WWE instead. This is great because we enjoyed ourselves booking various Jackass-related spots that never came to light in the Royal Rumble, I think.
Yep.
Instead, we got Johnny Knoxville working the King's Road style in the middle of the 2022 Battle Royal. But it's fodder for another preview for another day, but absolutely the right call, isn't it? Let's do a WrestleMania Jackass match and get to sort of enjoy the fruits of that of WrestleMania week itself. Fan casting what it is they might do.
Yeah. Genius, I think this. Mm-hmm. Then we got an excellent women's tag team match, ruined by the finish, of course. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Sasha Banks and Naomi.
You almost had me in the first half there. Not going to lie.
Really? I thought this was some great work from all of them. They had Carmella, the tag champs, Carmella and Zelina, Queen Zelina sat at ringside. And they'd like, oh, please watch this YouTube series where she's just shagging Corey Graves, because that's what's distracting her from defending these tag titles. Match, though, is just four great workers working really well together, and they put in an amazing amount of effort for a thing that was always going to go to a DQ. Because I was watching this going, who loses this? Because they're both fighting for the titles at WrestleMania, aren't they? So it's, no, it's not like the Lost Authority is really like, well, they can lose, blah, blah, blah. Banks early on takes the advantage, runs up the corner into an arm drag. Morgan rolls up Banks, though, for a near fall. They both go for a drop kick. There's a sort of standoff. It's back and forth between these two early on. Naomi comes in and hits a split-legged leg drop for a two count. Ripley comes in and drop kicks Naomi to the back of the head. Takes control, but Banks makes a blind tag. She comes in, knee to Ripley's head, head scissors, and Ripley and Morgan send Banks and Naomi to the floor, to which Ripley cannonballs off the apron to take us to a break. When we come back, Ripley's got Naomi up for a vertical suplex, but she breaks free and hits a springboard kick. And then Banks and Liv Morgan come in at the same time. Banks hits the double knees in the corner and Meteora gets a two count. Morgan recovers. It's an enziguri. Ripley comes in with a huge missile drop kick to get a near fall as well. She goes to the riptide, but Banks, because she's amazing, reverses it into the backstabber. Naomi hits the split-legged moonsault, but Morgan dives in to break up the pin attempt. Quite rightly, this gets a "this is awesome" chant. Banks and Naomi to go for the double suplex thing in the corner, but Morgan comes in, which seems dumb because her opponent's at the top of this huge powerbomb thing. But regardless, doesn't matter, because at that point, in comes Natalya and Shayna Baszler to attack everyone. Carmella and Queen Zelina get involved as well. And the champions pose, and Baszler and Natalya stare at the champs, and Natalya points at the WrestleMania sign. This is the bit where I thought you were going to get angry regarding Seth Rollins not able to get on the WrestleMania card, because these 2 minutes look like a cakewalk.
It's piss. Like, you could have, the cakewalk could have been down the aisle to speak to Edge before he turned blue. He was offering an open invitation, let alone all the freebies that are getting tossed out on SmackDown. Yeah, this was better than decent, this. And, well, it's a bloody good job, isn't it? Because we're going to have to get used to about six different versions of it between now and WrestleMania, inclusive of the show itself. There, we've already had various versions of the tag team match on Raw with the champions who look the least credible of all the challenges. I guess that's the story. It's not a very good one, but I think that's the story, is that the champions are far less credible than any of the did you catch Pat McAfee? He does this sometimes, and he means it enthusiastically, but it's the sort of stuff WWE like to keep under wraps whenever possible, highlighting that everybody is a makeshift team in the match. Yes. Like, everybody around at the moment, nobody's for real. But he kind of meant to say that endearingly. But it's obviously a huge problem with this division, the women's division and the women's tag division. So it's looking obviously now like it's a four-way. I don't know if you spotted over the weekend, Wilborn, but ahead of this happening, ahead of the inevitable Natalya and Shayna Baszler entry into the match, we talked about this on a podcast, I think, but I decided to use my expert Photoshop skills to fan cast.
Spectacular work. I saw this.
I did wonder if people could even see it with Photoshop or not, to be honest, or if they wondered if they'd missed something from an old WrestleMania. Yeah. But I had it appear as if maybe that Bayley and Asuka would get added to the match last minute, much like the Hardy Boys were. And then did you see over the weekend that Bayley and Asuka themselves, no less than 24 hours later, attempted to manifest this themselves with tweets to one another about this? I mean, that's how this match is rescued from oblivion, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's how it's definitely rescued from being anything other than mid-card filler. Also, this is more podcast housekeeping, but what a better time to talk about it than now. People that can't see your Queen Zelina face you pull when you do that voice. I listened to Wrestle Culture on Friday because I wanted to hear if John Harrison's absolute ripper of an intro would be included in time, and hear how you would attempt to follow actual music with your version of music. I wanted to hear that music. And I heard you doing your best. Well, I'm going to call it Weller and the Whale, because I felt like I could see a face that you were pulling as you did your Paul Weller voice. I would encourage everybody to go and listen to this Wrestle Culture intro, mainly for John Harrison's riff, which I assume will just
so
be keeping.
Good.
We'll be keeping in full time, won't we? That's going to stick around.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just dropping in. If he wants to do one for the reviews as well, he's very welcome. but yeah. I really enjoyed what I imagined was your Paul Weller face, very similar to your Noah and the Whale face. I hope I don't have to wait 5 years' time to see it again.
It is very much. That's sports entertainment.
Oh, what as well? You'd put the work in. I could tell how much you'd put the work in. And you had to go a long way to drag it over the line. And I don't think the boys quite knew how to react to what they just witnessed.
Tough crowd, honestly.
It was.
But yeah.
Should have gone for style council. They're better than the jam.
So, the match gave me a great deal of hope for this WrestleMania match. Because I was like, if we can get the other two teams out of there and just have these women work it, it's going to be brilliant. But yeah, I'm just hoping for Bayley and Asuka now to come and save this whole goddamn thing.
The more we get, the more they have the potential to turn it into a turmoil match for the second year in a row. And I can't actually decide if that's better or worse.
Mm. Well, Sonya Deville, as I said afterwards, announced them in the match. Hey, Shayna Baszler's on the WrestleMania card. That's good by me.
Yeah, good for her.
In the midst of all this, by the way, Michael Cole informs Pat McAfee that he's been summoned to Mr. McMahon's office. And he goes back there, and then he's seen after some ad breaks and what have you, leaving McMahon's office after they recap what's been going on. And then he cuts the greatest promo I've ever seen. I love this. He comes down and a bit like L.A. Knight, on NXT 2.0, he is channeling Rock and Austin so much so he just uses their catchphrase. says, give me a hell yeah. He said at one point, I think he was going for the millions, and that's when Austin Theory's music plays. But yes, Pat McAfee comes down. He says when he was 11 years old, he stumbled into some no-name network showing wrestling. It changed his life forever. He just loved watching all hell break loose. And then he realized that's what he was put on this earth to do. Other professions may have got in the way. But after he retired, he gets a call from Michael Cole, who offers him a spot on Friday Night SmackDown. And he says, hell yeah. And he has to do the millions bit. And then Austin Theory's music comes off. And he comes down to the ring and says, you got anything for me? And yes, it's revealed that he's been told he has to apologize to Austin Theory. Otherwise, he will lose that match at WrestleMania. And McAfee can't quite bring himself to do it. He starts and then chokes on his words. And then he says, you know what, Austin Theory, I am sorry for beating your ass last week. I'm sorry that your parents raised a douchebag. I'm sorry that I made your goddamn face relevant. I'm sorry that you're a punk-ass bitch. And Theory smiles because I think he thinks he's won by getting an apology. Shoves McAfee, jumps out of the ring. This is one of the best feuds heading into WrestleMania. I love this.
You are one of the best feuds heading into WrestleMania, mate. You are. That was an excellent promo you just cut there in your performance as Pat McAfee, because I thought this was crap. I don't feel nothing for this program, but I don't feel anywhere near enough, and I don't feel as much as I did when it was Vince. And I need that old Beauty and the Beast candle getting in there and taking a kick to the head off the punter of the year. I don't need Austin Theory running in with slaps. I'll say this right. I don't know if you saw this. We haven't had the opportunity to talk wrestling and social media and all that sort of stuff as much as we've been out the office. But did you see the video that McAfee made himself about what it is to be? Oh, man.
Like, oh, I did. I did see this, yes.
About 3.5-4 minutes long, and it was better than whatever they could produce for him, basically, about what it is to chase this particular dream of his. I believed it, I bought it. It sort of speaks to him being not as green as we might have first thought when he had that ripper with Adam Cole. On that, like, he's, you know, this is something that's been in the back of his mind for longer than he's maybe let on at points, and wise to do that as well. Make yourself look more like an amateur, and then people won't spot just how much of a professional you are. Maybe this will be all right on the night, you know. I don't worry about
being. I think it's going to be a show stealer. This might be a special guest referee, maybe. And I think it's going to be one of the best matches at WrestleMania, or the most memorable, at least.
Pat McAfee's got this amazing habit of getting things over by force of will, and I think he'll manage that here. But I'm not into the build, if I'm honest. I'm into you.
Then we got Kofi Kingston versus Ridge Bloody Holland. It was a nice moment here, especially discovering that they originally planned a segment where Ridge boasted about breaking Big E's neck, supposedly.
So they recap what's happened, and Cole's talking about Kingston getting four biggies neck break. They even showed the, I don't think we saw this on telly actually last week, with Big E getting taken out on the stretcher and the thumbs up and all the lovely messages on social media, echoed, of course, by all of us here at What Culture. We hope he is better and back in the ring as soon as he is physically able to do that. But on commentary, despite the fact that they're a bunch of bastards featuring Butch now, Cole did say that Holland apologised to Big E and hopes he gets better soon, which I thought was genuinely just a nice touch from WWE. Kingston, though, he's fired up, drop kicks Holland at the start. Kingston eventually hits a springboard crossbody to the floor. We go to break. When we come back, Holland hits Kingston with a back elbow, and he'd taken over during the break because Sheamus had distracted. Oh, no, it hit Kingston with the clothesline on the outside. Kingston starts fighting back out of a chin lock. Kingston gets a clothesline to take Holland down, hits the boom drop, sets up for the trouble in paradise. Holland catches him. Kingston breaks free, goes up top. This is when Sheamus distracts the referee and Butch knocks Kingston off the top. The referee doesn't know what's gone on, but he senses interference, shenanigans. So he kicks Sheamus and Butch out of ringside, sends them to the back. Butch is not having any of this. He's still desperate to get back in and fighting against Sheamus. All these distractions. He, in fact, gets into the ring, but Sheamus pulls him out. This distraction allows Holland to grab Kofi Kingston and hit him with Northern Grit and get the victory.
Yeah, I suppose I can be kinder at this as and when I can see the function of it manifest. So Xavier Woods has returned at house show, has he not? But they're keeping his on-screen return probably until next week, as Kofi Kingston is being now completely outgunned by the numbers games, as we can assume he would have done had it not been for the accident that befell Big E. That it still would have been a 3-on-2. They would have needed Woods back. So Woods coming back to help Kofi at least make it 3-on-2 still makes sense. I would like to see them get creative and find somebody that can be a fun sub for Big E to make it a 3-on-3 as well. I think I'm more interested in the six-man tag than I am a handicap. So maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just say handicap matches being enough. But I'm more interested, I think, in them trying to find a, like, make it a bit of fun. Like, put the old silhouette graphic up and give us a mystery partner for the night and say it's going to be 3-on-3, but we're going to have somebody, a suitable replacement for Big E, and then actually work at pulling some, like, pull a legend out of the mothballs for WrestleMania weekend to be a surprise member of the New Day for the night.
But, I did. What do you think about the E stuff? I thought that was a really nice touch from WWE.
Yeah, it was all right. It was like, it's strange, isn't it? It being WWE, you can sort of quite enjoy one thing on a Friday night and then read about the exploitation they wanted to on the Monday morning. Mm. So you get about 2-3 days to be like, oh, that's rare of them to do a nice thing. And then a story comes out where like, they didn't want to do the nice thing. So it's a bit of both as usual with them. I'd rather this. I feel like there are some times where wrestling injuries can be a gift to the plot. This can be a gift without it being exploitative, and yes. I think they probably walk that line just about right here.
Right, main event time. Charlotte Flair is going to come out and make her challenge to Ronda Rousey. They recap everything that's gone on with these two. Charlotte Flair comes down to the ring. Said she'd always had a plan. She talks about slamming Ronda Rousey onto the hood of a car last week, and who knew that you could dent a car by chucking someone's head into it, basically. She said she basically was about to tap Ronda Rousey out, but the referees pulled her off. There was a "you tapped out" chant to Charlotte Flair, which riles the audience up a bit more. She says her legacy is bigger than Ronda Rousey's. She says no one's caused her the sort of pain and upset that she has. Have you seen a UFC record? But she said when she loses at WrestleMania, Ronda will leave to go and have another baby. But Flair isn't going anywhere, and Rousey just doesn't have the passion to be a 13-time world champion. But anyway, she didn't want to wait till WrestleMania. She demanded Rousey come out to her home city of Charlotte, and woos and challenges are put down. Rousey is seen earlier on watching this promo, and she starts storming to the ring when,
"Hey, Kayla!"
asked her a question about whether or not she thinks it's a trap. Kayla Braxton, smart lady. But Ronda ignores her and keeps walking. And McAfee notes that was a really good question to be asking. Rousey marched down to the ring. I think it's one of those things where she knows it's a trap, but she just doesn't care. Flair's got a kendo stick, of course, which is a lovely callback to Survivor Series. Rousey dodges the kendo stick, though, and just starts peppering Flair with rights and lefts. And she tackles Flair down. Flair fights back. and she goes for the armbar and stuff. But in the midst of all this, Flair throws Rousey into the side of the ring as they go down to the floor. But Rousey recovers, puts her in the ankle lock, but Flair grabs another kendo stick she's hidden near the timekeeper's area, twats Rousey with that, chokes her out with it. Blood's coming from Ronda Rousey's mouth. It looks awesome, this. And then Flair grabs Ronda Rousey and powerbombs her through the announce table to stand tall as the show goes off the air. My God, have they turned my interest in this feud around.
Yeah, did you see that it's very possible that WWE are going to main event night one with the KO show? Have you seen this?
This was mentioned by Murray this morning. I said, is this purely because Kevin Owens said this is going to be the main event of WrestleMania?
Well, there's the usual murmurings you get around this time of year where there's nothing confirmed yet, so people start. There's breadcrumbs of various things, and I like this. So I'm with you in that regard. I thought this was stronger than the car stuff from the week before. And I like the chemistry between the two. I'm not wholly sold yet on just how much fire Rousey's got in her belly. And I think I'm gonna give her the benefit of the doubt till WrestleMania. I want to see that match on that night. I really enjoyed the Elimination Chamber judo stuff. I was hyped for a return in the Royal Rumble and that carried through. But I think this match will determine exactly if Ronda is kind of faking it till she makes it, or she's still got this want to do this. Because something's not quite hitting for me in her performance yet. Maybe she doesn't want to, and you know, go and make your money, I guess. This is the company to go and do it. But like, I don't know. The chemistry's there, the physicality's there. I don't feel like I buy the fire in the belly from Rousey specifically than I did when she was in her original run. And why I mentioned the Austin Owens thing is because not only that, but I would currently put this, if you were gonna structure the card, and I know WWE structures its card the way it structures its card, and you have cooldown matches and things, but what I'm saying is in terms of ranking matches in order of magnitude to build a main event as a main event, and you're not doing the KO show, I've probably got Becky and Bianca above this on night one.
I've read that that's going to open.
Well, and you know, and that's again part of how WWE structures their shows. But I'm just saying, in terms of what feels big and in terms of stakes, and I would personally put the Raw Women's title above this in terms of the two big matches on the show that feel like they're competing for that headline spot. They might get there with this. I don't know. It's something in Rousey's eyes at the moment. I think it's cool that she's happy to be there. I'm glad she's back. But I'm going to wait to the match to see if we've got the old Ronda still there. This wasn't bad.
Charlotte destroys Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's got blood coming out of her mouth. That's my kind of stuff, this.
Kendo stick destruction thing was a really nice call.
Yeah, I just think they've really, you know, completely changed my opinion on this, because I was... if you'd have told me at the Royal Rumble, when she comes out, she's not going to be fighting Becky, you know, she's going to be fighting Charlotte, I'd have gone, oh, you bastards. But I think they've really hit their stride, these two. And I'm well into this, and I think it deserves to main event night one of WrestleMania. But I can see that if you are just going to do a segment finishing with a nice stunner and people getting beers chucked about, yeah, I can see why you do that, because you're in the... But I think these two deserve the main event spot that they were initially given. And I would have this main event and have Ronda standing tall to close out night one of WrestleMania. But there you have it. Yeah, it's very intriguing next, less than 14 days to see what happens next with this feud and the whole of WWE as we head towards WrestleMania. But let us know your thoughts on Friday Night SmackDown on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, there you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
I'm at Michael Hamflett, and I'd just like to steal some time on this platform to wish a very happy World Down Syndrome Day to all that celebrate. Hashtag inclusion matters, and it does for all of those with Down Syndrome, for families and friends of people with Down Syndrome or other disabilities who have excellent taste in podcasts. And if they listen to this one, they do. So inclusion matters to them. Have a great day. And if you are so inclined, check the top of my Twitter at Michael Hamflett, where you can kick a bit of money to Down Syndrome Northeast through sponsoring me to drag my fat ass around the Great North Run in September.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, myself and Sidge will be back to review AEW Rampage and look ahead to Manara a little bit later on today. But for now, this has been the SmackDown review. My thanks to Michael Hamblett. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.